Dune Part 2, starring Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, and a host of other stars, has become a huge hit, crossing $80 million in only its first weekend at the box office. It's no surprise that people love the second installment of Denis Villeneuve's adaptation of the 1965 Frank Herbert novel, given how much we all loved the first one.
This is only the beginning.
But Paul Atreides' story is a lot darker than most Chosen One characters we see get the big screen treatment. So how has Paul changed in Part 2? And what does that mean for what's to come in his story? And how might audience reactions cause a bit of a problem? Let's dive in. The Dune film split Paul's coming-of-age story from the book into two parts. Check out our previous video to find out why. Part 1 saw him seeking to follow in the footsteps of his noble father, Duke Leto.
I found my own way to it. Maybe you'll find yours.
We began to see the extent of his powers, like his adeptness at fighting, ability to withstand great pain, and his ability to use the voice to compel those around him.
Give me the water.
But even in that first installment, we began to see a possibility of darkness taking hold of Paul. He sees visions of the future, but only takes the violent, terrifying visions that also show him as being all-powerful as the true future that he must follow.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Not exactly.
Paul of Part 1 was more passive. He acts as if he can't change the future, when in reality he is deliberately moving towards this future where he is the one in complete control. When his father is murdered, he becomes consumed with a desire for revenge above all else. He begins to accept that that violent vision of the future he sees is in fact his way to enact that revenge.
Fremen speak of Lusan al-Ghaib. Careful. A voice from the outer world who will lead them to paradise.
The ending of Part 1 could almost feel a bit uplifting or hopeful, like a hero finally coming into his own. But as we begin to see in Part 2, and are even more aware of if you've read the books, Dune is not the story of a hero.
A war in my name! Everyone shouting my name!
In Part 2, the truth begins to become more clear. Paul is obviously special, but not necessarily in a good way. That's not to say that he's an inherently bad person. His inner kindness is obvious in both films. And in 2, we get to see it even more on an interpersonal level as his relationship with Chani blossoms. But Dune is about the nature of choice, and Paul's story arcs towards a very bad choice. He has so many skills and innate powers, and is in fact the result of centuries worth of noble bloodline crossbreeding by the Bene Gesserit. We'll dig more into that in a minute. But all of this doesn't on its own make him good or noble. He has to choose if he'll use them for good or evil. And at the end of Part 1, it does seem like he's made the choice to go towards the good side.
If you'll have us, we will come.
But as we come to find out, this wasn't a choice made out of kindness at all. It was just a means to an end, a way for him to get closer to his goals of revenge and total power.
My road leads into the desert. You can see it.
We see his growing power in Part 2, like his ability to command the giant sandworm and surviving the water of life and gaining the ability to see the past and future. And he does attempt to push back against this destiny others, especially his mother, are attempting to foist onto him, even saying that he's no messiah. But actions speak louder than words, and we can see through what he does and the choices he makes that he is very intent on making sure this vision he has of the future where he's in control comes to pass, even if it means billions of lives will be lost along the way. At the end of Part 2, his win in the duel against Feyd Rautha isn't the end, but instead the beginning of something much worse. The Great Houses make it clear that they do not accept him ascending to become the leader of the known universe, and so he orders the Freemen to attack, finally igniting that prophesized holy war of his visions. He also makes it clear that he cares about revenge above all else when he murders the Baron. Villeneuve said, "This hunger for revenge that resides in Paul resurfaces and gives him the strength for this final attack, knowing it will open the door to chaos and ultimate catastrophe. There will be a holy war fought in his name. It's a match into a gasoline tank, a very high price to pay for this revenge." While While deciding whether or not you'll give in to your visions of the future might be difficult, choosing what to eat is easy with the help of today's sponsor, Factor. Eating better every day is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Whether you're breaking out of your winter rut or just looking for something good to eat while watching your favorite show, Factor's pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals get delivered right to your door, giving you one less thing to worry about. No more dealing with prep and cooking and cleanup. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. There are over 35 different options to choose from every week, from keto to vegan and veggie to calorie smart and more. Plus, there are over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons, like smoothies and snacks, to help take your weekly meal plans to the next level. I love how easy Factor makes mealtime. I don't have to worry if I have the right ingredients or spend lots of time cooking. I can just pop a Factor meal in the microwave and have a delicious meal ready to go in only 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/thetake50 and use code thetake50 to get 50% off. That's code thetake50 at factormeals.com/thetake50 to get 50% off. Chani has a very important part to play in Paul's story. In part one, she was mostly a vision he saw. He knew that she was important for some reason because of that, and so when they finally meet near the end, he knew he needed to get close to her. In part two, we see that she isn't on board with the whole idea that he's a prophet, but they grow closer and she eventually comes to respect him. And it's through Paul's choice in his treatment of Chani that we can really see that she was right not to trust him. While he tells her he loves her, he chooses to agree to marry Princess Aurelium when she offers herself to him if he'll spare her father's life. Paul is more interested in becoming part of a galactic power couple and ruling the universe than he is with being with Chani, because his priority has always been himself and his own arc towards power. Paul's story across the books, and as we begin to see in these two films, flips the chosen one trope we're used to seeing in a main character.
Your grandfather said, a great man doesn't seek to lead. He's called to it, and he answers.
Most Chosen One characters use their great powers in a quest to help those around them and save the world, but Paul goes in the other direction. As his power grows, he only becomes more and more concerned with himself and attaining even more power. His story is loosely inspired by the Greek myth of Atreus. Atreides is actually the patronymic form of his name. In the Greek myth, he and his twin brother were exiled for killing their half-brother in their quest for the throne. They continued to battle for power, eventually leading to Atreus cooking his brother's sons and feeding them to him in an attempt to get him exiled. Atreus ends up getting murdered by his adopted son, who has a dark story of his own, and his two biological sons went on to cause the Trojan War. Paul wasn't actually even meant to be the chosen one. As we learn, the Bene Gesserit had planned for it to be Jessica's grandchild, but then she had a son instead of a daughter and threw everything off course. Instead of using his great power to do good, he instead decides to use it for his own advantage. He shows the problem with holding special people up as perfect idols who will single-handedly save us. Putting all of our eggs in their basket can really screw us over big time. His story highlights the dangers of blindly following charismatic leaders. They can lead to the light, but also into extreme darkness if we're not careful. And if we don't stop them before it's too late, their quest for complete control can destroy us all.
You were the chosen one! It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them! Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness!
Being split into parts allows the films to slowly show his descent into darkness, giving up more and more of his humanity in his quest for power each time. This is effective in helping us see the how and why of his turn. Like in the books, we have more time to come to understand his choices, instead of having to feel like we're speedrunning his entire arc in one film. This helps his change feel less out of the blue or forced, like we've seen with some other turns towards evil on screen.
In rapa dolvio vio ninrontira derat. Dolvio pregelat.
And having us start out rooting for him only to come to see that he's actually a huge problem could really get people to think about their own connections to and reverence for idols in new ways. But there's also the concern that audiences won't think about things that deeply, and will just continue to assume that because he's the main character, he must be correct and we're supposed to be on his side, as Blindness has become a bit of a problem in recent years. Take the percentage of people who don't realize that Homelander is clearly meant to be a bad guy, for example. Some audiences see an all-powerful character doing whatever they want and being in control as always positive, even when it harms everyone around them.
I'm the Homelander, and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
So there is a concern that even if it is made extremely clear that Paul is not a hero, some will still latch onto him as such just because he's the protagonist and played by a movie star. But Paul was always very explicitly meant to be a cautionary tale. Villeneuve said, "Frank Herbert was very concerned that people saw Dune as a celebration of revenge, and of Paul Atreides as a great leader. He wanted Dune to be a warning against charismatic leaders and messianic figures. Paul is not the hero, but the anti-hero." And this is why the choice to have part two end on Chani's rebuking of him is so important. She's the only one left with her moral compass still intact. So the fact that she refuses to bow to him and leaves makes it clear that her hope for him being able to overcome the darker parts of his nature is gone. He is not anyone's hero. Dune Part 2 is a great exploration of the beginning of a could-be hero choosing to go the other way, and instead seek out power only for themselves. It will be interesting to see how they choose to play out Paul's story over more films. Villeneuve is allegedly already working on a script for the third installment, and though he says it will be his last at the helm, if that film is as successful as the first two, there will surely be more to come to cover the rest of the books. It will also be interesting to see other narrative threads come to life on screen. We got a sneak peek of Anya Taylor-Joy as the grown version of Paul's in utero baby sister, and now that the movies have made Chani more of an active player in the narrative, we're excited to see what her character does in the next films. There is still so much left to explore in the world of Dune, and we can't wait to see how it's all brought to life. That's the take! Click here to watch the video we think you'll love, or here to check out a whole playlist of awesome content. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And make sure to subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive new videos.